It's Brother Hanson from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get back into our study in the Patriarchs. And Moses has been the one we've been studying for the last couple of days. And he's the most interesting of all of them. He and Abraham, I believe. The Torah, the law, is what we've been studying. What Moses received on Mount Sinai. He got it directly from God. Now, if you can imagine this, these stones that were written upon by God's fingers, and then he busted them down on the after he came down from the mountain and saw the people worshiping a golden calf. Now, this law, precisely the Torah, was how it was compiled is not completely known. Although we're told that Moses was the author of the laws, scribes may have assisted him in recording, collecting, and arranging them into codes. Moses did not himself fashioned the finished codes until the conquest of Canaan. The laws may have been entrusted to priests at the various sanctuaries. The priests would have had the responsibility of preserving the Torah and instructing the Hebrews orally until the laws could be written down in the form we have them today. Protected and preserved. The Jewish tradition, when Moses received the Torah on Mount Sinai, he also was given a body of authoritative commentary or guidelines for interpreting the laws. Now, for while God decreed that no work be done on the Sabbath, for instance, he did not specify which tasks could be done. Those judgments would be made by religious sages from Joshua to the teachers and the scholars of post-biblical times. For hundreds of years, the commentary known as oral law and the scholarly interpretations were not set down in writing, yet the commentary helped to keep the Torah a vital part of people's lives, since laws could be adapted to change. For example, those laws governing sacrifice in the temple could be reinterpreted, even after the temple was destroyed. The Torah therefore remained as it was when Moses received it. While the body of oral law grew as new social and political problems arose about AD 200, the body of commentary had become overwhelming. And scholars began to systemize the material and write it down. The result was the Mishnah, the first codification of the oral law, and one of the most important documents in Judaism after the Bible itself. Now, the Torah is applies to each and every one of us, whether we be Jew or Gentile or whatever, Christian or Jew, whatever we want to call ourselves. The Torah is very important, and I believe that it was written by God. Now, the book of Deuteronomy ends in sadness with the death of Moses. Though grief is soon offset by the arrival of the Israelites in the Promised Land. Now, Moses had chosen his faithful assistant, Joshua, as his successor. And in time, through clever military strategy and the help of God, Joshua led the people to conquer a fair amount of Canaan. The Israelite settlement grew up as a loose conglomerate of 12 scribes, or actually 12 tribes, each with its own allotment of land for more than 300 years, beginning with Joshua's death. About 1375 BC, the tribes had no single leader or central government. Yet when they confronted foreign oppression, they banded together to fight. The Bible describes a cyclical pattern to the life of the community during this transitional time, known as the period of the judges. The people would ignore their responsibilities to God, and God would punish them by sending an oppressor. Then the people would cry out to be saved, and God would raise up a leader or judge to free the people from oppression. Years of peace would follow before the next crisis. Now, the interesting thing about Joshua's death is God told Joshua. Now, how would you imagine if you were Joshua? He says to Joshua, "Thou art old and stricken in years, yet there is so much more land to be conquered." Now, this is a sad situation because God, even God Himself, spoke as though there were not a leader among them that could take his place. Not a leader among the people like Joshua or Moses. Now, that is a sad situation. But this is not the first time, folks. This is not the first time this was spoken by God. I want to refer back to something else. It said, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap, build up the hedge, that I may not judge, issue my judgment upon the people." And what did God say then? Do you remember? The sad thing about this is that he could not find one person. "I sought for a man and found none." I want you to think about this. This is very important. "I sought for a man and found none. Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years, yet there remains much more land to be taken and conquered." Now, why could God not find a leader such as Moses or another leader to take Joshua's place? There were none. There were none. You look around here, folks. I want you to look around. Take a look at our country. And I'm sure that Joshua and Moses was probably one of the most hated people on the face of the earth. Does that remind you of anything? People hated Moses because he was a leader, because he had to lead. He had to do so. He had to make decisions. And there were people that rebelled against him. I'm sure that there were people that hated Joshua. He had to issue out the land. He had to make decisions. He had to, and he had the wisdom to do it, to do so. Now, after they were gone, God had no leader left. Now, this is sobering, folks. What happens when a good man, a leader that makes decisions after God and does them, is gone and there's nobody, no one to take their place? You're stuck. You're stuck. You go downhill quickly, just like we did with Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and some of the others that were elected, people that had no judgment whatsoever, people that had no spiritual insight whatsoever. Obama, I believe, was the beginning of the Antichrist body. He was a very evil man. Joe Biden took up right where he left off. Very evil. Some of the things they did to allow to go on with little children, from transitioning them from girls to boys, boys to girls, mutilating their bodies, and justifying it. I want you to know something, folks. This is evil. This is evil. Justifying it. These things that they took control with, climate change, evil. It is satanic. Why? They used that money to get re-elected. There was no money going to climate change. It was going back into the coffers to re-elect the evil people that keep this evil thing going. Communism, Marxism, and all the evil things that goes with it. They were using this money to re-elect themselves. They're finding it. If we didn't have a leader like Donald Trump, and he's hated by many, many people, but you know what? Once he's gone, he's gone. I don't know if there's anyone that really would take the initiative and lead. I really don't. Out of the whole entire conservative party, I don't know of anyone that would lead like he does today. That's a sobering thing, folks. You got to be hated to be a good leader. You got to be hated. And he's hated by everybody, even the world. I'm sure that some of these people, Winston Churchill, hated by many people. You name them. Some of the greatest leaders we have ever known were hated. Winston Churchill spoke out against Islam, said it was the worst enemy, right from hell, right from the devil. I'm sure he had some enemies. And some of the great leaders that led with the Spirit of God were hated by everyone. A good leader will be hated. A good man, a prophet of God, will be hated. Just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the truth. He was not afraid to speak the truth. Oh, he was told by God, don't despise your youth. Speak the truth. He did. He was hated, jailed, imprisoned, and put in a hole in the ground. That's where Jeremiah spent his time. He didn't spend his time riding around in expensive limousines, riding around being loved by everyone. You know, that's the prosperity message of the day. You got to ride around in a limousine, or you got to have a airplane. You have to have all these things, different things. Otherwise, you're not spiritual. You tell Jesus that. You tell John the Baptist that. John the Baptist was hated. He got his head cut off. Jesus was hated. He got crucified. Many of the people that were leaders, the prophets, they were hated by everyone. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Jesus said this. But yet you have this prosperity message telling you that you have to be prosperous and loved, and you just you'd think that you're going to be bathed in baby oil or something. What a crock. You know, watch out what you listen to, because you may just be listening to lies, lies, and more lies. The great leaders were hated. You may be hated because you may be a leader. Well, that's our time for the day. If you'd like this study, go to our website, krciradio.com. You'll find probably many of them already uploaded. They're free. No charge whatsoever. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. I want to thank those that have helped us and helping us. Catherine, thank you all. Thank you very much that helped us. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. Call us at 928-368-6766. Leave a message. We'll call you back. Till tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, steady. Show yourself approved to God.